Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Today we're going to be learning the halachas of salting meat. This is the 36th chapter in the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch, Simen Lamed Vov. This is another example of where we're getting to learn halacha which we generally would not get to see, because this appears in Yoredea, in the section of kashrus aspects of Shulchan Aruch, which generally speaking, the average person doesn't get to. We're going to look at this there from the perspective of three concepts. Number one is soaking the meat, number three, salting the meat, and number three is different organs. So let's just take a little bit of background and then jump straight in. So the Torah tells us that we're not allowed to consume blood. It's a prohibition of including the consuming blood, and that means to say that whether it's blood which is immediately pouring out of the animal when it is shechted, or which emerges later on as well. Therefore, if one cooks the blood and it comes out and renders the food and the utensils it was cooked in treif, there was a special job or special mitzvah called melicha, which is salting the meat, which extracts the blood and allows it to be cooked. This is accompanied by soaking and rinsing. This is often called kashering. So this is meaning to say making it available to be eaten as well. In yesteryear, most Jewish women who are housemakers knew how to do this, because the typical way things would be done is a person would go to the butcher, buy the meat which is unsalted, and take it home and treat it and salt it in a way that allows it to be eaten in a kosher way. That's a lot of labor, a lot of work. Today, generally speaking, the kashrus agencies, which are certifying stores and supermarkets and the meat production, the Jewish kosher meat production, are doing this for us, so much so that many agencies will now not allow unkashered products to be on the shelves. So, for instance, used to be that you could get liver, and it would be unkashered liver, and then you would take it home and you would kasher it. Today, even many kashrus agencies will not even allow that, because people make mistakes and then cook it as if it's kashered and it's not really kashered. This is one of the reasons why kosher meat is much more expensive than regular meat, which is not kosher, and that is because there's a lot more labor involved in preparing it in a way that is fit to be kosher. Let's take a look at what that looks like and understand the work that goes into making it kosher. The first topic is soaking the meat. In this, we'll deal with 15 questions. Number one is, what needs to happen before salting? So it needs to be washed or soaked. Why does it need to be washed or soaked? The reason is number one, is to soften the meat, to make it easier to remove the blood. Number two is it helps decoagulate the blood so the salt can remove it. So it's to soften the meat and to soften the blood, essentially, and to be able to make the salting process there afterwards be successful. How long must it be soaked for? It needs to be soaked for 30 minutes. You buy new pieces of meat from the butcher, you come home, you put them into your utensil, and you soak them for 30 minutes. What if there is visible blood on the outside of the meat? So that needs to be washed off before you even start soaking it. So for instance, if you buy a shechted chicken, by the neck area where it was shechted, that needs to be washed off before the soaking process starts as well. One of the concerns that we'll see throughout this is the concern that the blood will reabsorb to the meat. We want to make sure we're removing any blood so that it will not go back into the meat and be reabsorbed. What about areas where the blood was collected internally? So these need to be rinsed out before soaking, so they need to be pried open for this as well. What about bruises on the skin of the animal? So let's say the animal incurred an injury before it died. The blood was collecting underneath the skin by the tissue there. One needs to cut that out before soaking it as well. Many times this is a question that needs to be asked. A child needs to be asked about bruises, because there's different types of bruises. What temperature must the soaking water be? So it could really be any temperature, room temperature, but it should not be so cold that it will cause the meat or the blood to freeze, because that may be a problem later on and will not be able to be extracted properly. What if I left the meat soaking for over 24 hours? I forgot it there on the counter. So that's a real problem, because we have a premise called kavush kumvushal, which is that if you soak something long enough, it's like you cook it. We accept this practice in many ways. So for instance, cold brew coffee is coffee which is soaked, not cooked. So similarly, when it comes to this, is if I'm soaking for more than 24 hours, then I will have made that vessel treif, and that's like as if I cooked blood meat in a vessel as well, big problem. What happens if it's Erev Shabbos? There just isn't enough time to soak the full half an hour. So one can wash it off really well and soak it for a few minutes. If there's no red color appearing in the water, one may move on to the salting and a shas adachak in a situation where there's not so much time. What if, in general, I cut the meat before salting and blood appears? What must I do? So let's say I've soaked it, I've cut it up. I need to be careful to wash it off so that it doesn't get absorbed back in and becomes treif. What if the meat is frozen? So the meat needs to be defrosted. So can I just put it in next to the oven or next to the fire? No, because that may cook the blood into it. It needs to be soaked best in warm water to defrost it in such a way that it's not cooking it. What vessel must I use for soaking the meat? It needs to be a separate dish, a separate utensil, so that just in case it doesn't get cleaned properly and there's blood on it, it shouldn't be used for anything else in the kitchen. This is to be a special soaking, a soaking dish that was used. It was not a regular dish. What, when one finishes soaking, what else needs to be done? So one needs to let the water drip off, so the salt will be absorbed into the water and not do its work on the blood. So should I just dry it off like thoroughly, like take a towel or a paper towel? So the answer is no. You should be too dry, or the meat or the salt will fall off it. So it needs to be drip dried, so that one will be able to use it in such a situation. That's the first concept called soaking. The next, obviously, is the salting itself. Let's look in this topic. In this topic, we have 14 basic questions, and that is, what type of salt should I be using for salting? So it can't be too fine-grained, otherwise it won't extract the blood. It'll be saturated. But it can't be too coarse, it'll just fall off, even though it could really extract the blood, which is why you need the middle size, which is, by the way, fun fact, why we have something called kosher salt. Kosher salt is something which is these larger than regular fine grained salt, which is small enough to stick to the meat but pull out the blood, strong enough to pull out the blood, and that's why it's called kosher salt, because it's used for kashering. In a world today in which many people don't even know what kashering is or how to do it, certainly they just think that kosher salt is some sort of vestigial hangover, but this is the background of why it is. Number two, how should I spread the salt? So it needs to be evenly spread on all the sides and all surfaces of the meat. What about chicken? So a chicken oftentimes is a layer, so you need to pull open the layers and insert the salt there. It needs to be under all the cracks as well. How should I place the meat when it is sitting with salt? So it needs to be placed on a flat surface. It cannot be placed on a flat surface, because then the blood may seep down to the bottom and it sits in its own blood, which will be reabsorbed. So what's the alternative then? The alternative is put it on a board which is on a slant. They used to have special boards or special corners that they would place it on, so that as the salt is absorbing the blood, it would seep out and not sit in its own blood. What happened if there are indentations in the board? So the holes are right, but indentations where the blood can collect are a problem, because then the blood will sit in that indentation and the meat will sit on that and be reabsorbed into it. How should the meat be positioned? So remember that many cuts of meat are concave. They're at a curve, have a curve. So the concave section should be facing downwards, so the blood does not collect in itself, meaning the meat should not form its own container, that the meat is pulled out and it sits in its own blood. Now, question number eight, can I put the meat into a pan until it's ready? So the answer is no. It needs to go from salting to washing it right afterwards without being placed down to sit in its own blood. How long should it remain in the salt? So it should remain in the salt for an hour and minimally 24 minutes. So we're already talking about bringing it back from the store, putting it in for half an hour of soaking, then an hour of salting. We can understand this is a significant and timely process. What do I do when the salting is finished? So the salt must be shaken off, and it needs to be washed well 3 times to wash the bloody salt away. So the salt has absorbed the blood. I'm washing the bloody salt off now. Who should be doing this? So generally speaking, this is the responsibility of the woman of the house, and it should not be given to a kitchen attendant who may not use enough water or might not use enough salt for the rinsing as well. What type of vessel or utensil should be used for salting? So again, like the soaking, it needs to be something which is separate, not used for other kitchen services, because of the concern that blood might be left over in it, and then you're going to be mixing that with your food. Where should I be careful not to place the meat before salting? So it should not be in an area where there might be occasional salt. So I shouldn't, before I salt it, I shouldn't put it on the counter if there might be salt there, because I'll start bringing out the blood, and then it'll be reabsorbed before the full salting process is continued. Is there a limit in time beyond which I cannot salt meat? The answer is yes. If it's standing for 72 hours, which is 3 days, then I may not salt it, because the blood will harden and not be able to be extracted as well. Obviously, if it's soaked within 3 days, there's no concern. And today, many times freezing will put a halt to that process. Now, The third and last concept today is different organs. So just remembering that there's more sensitivity when it comes to different organs because of the nature of the biology or the physics of that organ. How do I salt the head of the animal? So we're looking at 16 questions. How do I salt the head of the animal? So it needs to be cut up before washing. The brain needs to be removed from the skull and the membrane torn because the brain is surrounded and covered by a membrane. And the salting needs to be on the inside and the outside of the head as well. How do I salt bones? If it's attached to the meat, they're salted together with the meat. Let's say a drumstick or a part of the chicken that is the thigh can be salted together. But if it's detached from the meat, it needs to be salted alone, not with meat. The bones and meat cannot be salted together. How do I salt the feet of the animal? So the hooves need to be cut off so the blood drains downwards out of them before the salting, because otherwise it'll get stuck. How do I salt the heart? So it needs to be dissected and the arteries need to be cut open so that before the salting process, the larger arterial pathways need to be cut open salting process. Just remembering again, before the soaking and salting process, remember that the practice is for not to eat the heart of animals. How do I salt the lungs? Same thing, they need to be dissected. The main pathways of blood need to be cut open so that the blood can flow out before the soaking and salting process. How do I salt the liver? So the liver cannot be salted regularly. There's too much blood in there. It's absorbed into too many filters. And therefore, it needs to be cut open and roasted over the flame so that the blood will drip out that way. So liver requires its own specific type of kashering, which was very much known, but today is lesser known. Does it get salted? The answer is only during the roasting, but not before it. And because otherwise it starts to bring the blood out, and then the blood's going to get cooked in by the flames rather than extracted out. And afterwards it's rinsed out, and then three times then can be cooked. Can it be covered while it's roasting? The answer is no. It needs to be exposed to the full heat of a flame. Can it be salted before? The answer is no. You may come to cook it with meat if it's salted beforehand, and I may bring out the blood to the surface as well in this way, and then it's roasted in. So it can't be salted before. It must be only salted during. How long is it roasted for? So it usually takes minimally half the amount of time it takes to roast to eat it. So if it would take 45 minutes to roast to eat it, it would need to be half of that time of that 45 minutes. How do I salt the spleen? So the spleen is like regular meat, but you need to remove the membrane because of the forbidden fats, the chelev, which is around it. And also there's three sinews which are ensconced, and those need to be removed carefully as well. How do I salt the intestine and the rectum area? That needs to be externally salted in order to remove the fat that is surrounding it. How do I salt the stomach of the calf? So the stomach of a calf is more sensitive because it contains oftentimes milk because it had eaten from its mother. So that milk needs to be poured out before the salting process starts. There's no concern of milk and meat in this particular situation. Similarly, what about the udder of a cow or udder of a mother animal? So it's more complicated, but generally speaking, the milk needs to be removed before the salting process begins. What about eggs found in the bird that I shechted? So they need soaking, salting, and washing like a piece of meat, even though eggs, generally speaking, do not need to be salted, but because it was found in a shechted animal, it's considered like a piece of meat and would require the same process as well. Finally, last question is, usually the feathers are removed by singeing them in the fire. Am I allowed to do that before salting? The answer is yes, but it should not be that they're exposed directly to the flame. They should be gone back and forth under flickering flame to singe them enough to be able to remove the feathers, but not enough that it might cause the blood to be absorbed in and of itself, and therefore we'll be finished with that. This concludes the outline of the laws of salting meat, a very fascinating aspect. Meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful